The Air Force is standing up a new permanent office to make sure open architecture principles can be applied throughout its acquisition system, not just in small experimental pockets. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has more on this project.
By the end of this year, officials expect a new organization called the Open Approaches Management Office, based at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio, to reach its initial operating capability. It'll take over responsibility for the project called Open Mission Systems, which has been managed until now by the Pentagon-based Air Force Rapid Capabilities Office. Lieutenant General Arnold Bunch is the military deputy to the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition.
We built up and did the initial work in the Open Systems standard, the Open Mission Systems work, and set a standard. We did that within the Rapid Capabilities Office. So we did that within a small office, and it didn't get promulgated out to everybody. What we're doing now is putting it within the Lifecycle Management Center at Wright-Patterson so that they can take that standard and put it out into the program offices more readily than we can do it from the Rapid Capabilities Office, so that all the PEOs that are buying systems, buying platforms, have that standard there that they can utilize as they do acquisition in the future.
Bunch speaking at the C4I Symposium hosted by AFSEA International in Fairfax, Virginia. The standards, which the Air Force says it built with input and consensus from the companies who compete to build most of its weapons, are meant to ensure that the government isn't entirely wedded to a single vendor for several decades after it awards a contract for a new airframe or another large system. When the standards are applied to a contract, the Air Force can, in theory, recompete any portion of an acquisition program whenever it decides it's time to replace, say, a radar or add a new type of weapons payload to an existing aircraft, because the interfaces between a system's various parts are publicly available and not the property of any one vendor.
We're doing an F-22. We're pushing in an F-35. They set a standard. We did an industry consortium to come up with the standard that we wanted everybody to marry to. And now what we're doing is we're taking that and moving it out to Wright-Patt and standing up a program office so that it's more part of our acquisition process and not just wed into what the Rapid Capabilities Office developed. We'll be initial operational capability of that. We'll be coming up here later this year. Full operational capability be a year or two later down the road.
The service's open architecture trials have also been used on the B-52 bomber and the U-2 surveillance plane. Officials estimate those trials, where they've been used, have cut the costs of the Air Force's software integration efforts by between 60% and 90%. The highly secretive B-21 bomber, being developed under a contract with prime vendor Northrop Grumman, was not officially a part of the OMS project, but the Air Force has emphasized that its costs will be held under control by similar open systems architecture principles.
What we're doing is setting a standard architecture up so that we know the goes ins and the goes out ofs at the interface. And if I know the goes ins and the goes out ofs at the interface, when I want to change a component out, I ought to be able to plug another component in. I ought to be able to test it quickly. I ought to be able to do a competition for it because I know the interface. And I should be able to evolve more rapidly what we got out in the field to as technology advances or as the threat evolves. Neither our threat or technology remains stable. We have to create an environment where we can adapt and adjust to that as it goes forward. The B-21 is built with an open systems architecture so that later on, if we want to compete radar or we want to compete modules or we want to compete other things, we can drive down life cycle costs. We can keep competition through the life of the program. I'm not tied to a prime contractor who won the contract for the life of the program, which we are on many of the systems that we have out in the field today. We're trying to keep that in.
Each of the three military departments have various programs underway to encourage open architectures, but they have not moved quickly enough to satisfy lawmakers who strongly agree with the proposition that open interfaces can cut acquisition costs and introduce innovation by shaking up what would otherwise be sole source procurements. An early draft of the House version of the 2017 National Defense Authorization Bill would have mandated open architectures on every large military weapon system for precisely those reasons. But Congressman Mac Thornberry, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, later agreed to soften the language in a way that orders open systems only when they're practical. Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, told a recent gathering at the Center for Strategic and International Studies that DOD supports open architectures, but they're not appropriate in every case.
I mean, an example I give is if you look under the hood of your car, which a lot of us probably don't do very often anymore, look under the hood of your car today, it is completely packed with stuff. There's no air that you can see there, basically. And they're very tightly interwoven with each other, all the different systems that exist in a modern car. Some designs are so integrated and so dense and so constrained by things like space and weight and power considerations that you really can't do a modular, maybe even an open system. So we need flexibility on that. Modular has been part of our lexicon for decades now. We haven't always enforced it. There's resistance to it, frankly, from industry for reasons of self-interest. But we've been pushing and we've been more successful more recently. So I'm okay with the guidance as a general practice, but there are some designs where you just don't have the freedom.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.